line, jumps anywhere, anytime.
Good morning, little and big folks, children and grown-ups, passengers on the White Rabbit bus.
Good morning, Mr.
Well, it's a beautiful, clear morning in New York, but the coldest Easter I can remember. Those in the Easter parade, I'm afraid, will be in fur coats today. But here we are, all flying along together on this glorious Easter morning. And we'll open our program with Audrey Egan singing a lovely Easter song, The Holy City.
Jerusalem, Jerusalem.
George and Egan for opening our Bunny Bus Children's Hour so beautifully this morning. And here is Tommy Dix. Good morning, Tommy.
Good morning, Mr. Conductor.
Didn't the lady next door tell me you had an Easter poem for us this morning?
She might have done that, Mr. Conductor, because I do have one.
Then suppose you read it to us now.
All right.
The poem is called Calvary and Easter, and the author is unknown.
A song of sunshine through the rain, of spring across the snow, a balm to heal the hurts of pain, a peace surpassing woe. Lift up your heads, ye sorrowing ones, and be ye glad of heart, for Calvary and Easter Day were just 3 days apart. With shudder of despair and loss, the world's deep heart is wrung, as lifted high upon his cross, the Lord of glory hung, when rocks were rent, and ghostly forms stole forth in street and mart. But Calvary and Easter Day, Easter's blackest day and whitest day, were just 3 days apart.
Oh, yes, in other words, when our grief is greatest, God is nearest.
I have an Easter poem, too, Mr. Conductor. Only mine is all about the Easter Bunny.
It is, Jeannie. Well, it seems to me the Bunny Bus on Easter morning is the very place to talk about the Easter Bunny.
I think so, too. You want to hear my poem?
Oh, very much.
It's called Meeting the Easter Bunny.
I'd like to meet him.
On Easter morn, at early dawn, before the cocks were crowing, I met a bobtail bunnykin and asked where he was going. Just in the house and out the house, a tipsy-tipsy towing, just round the house and about the house, a light and I am going. Just gold, eggs of gold and eggs of blue, I wonder why you ask it. Tis chocolate eggs and bonbon eggs and eggs of red and gray for every child in every house on bonny Easter Day. He perked his ear and winked his eye and twitched his little nose. He shook his tail, what tail he had, and stood up on his toes. I must be gone before the sun. The east is growing gray. Tis almost time for bells to chime. So he hippity-hopped away.
Well, a cute fellow that little early morning bunny must have been, Jeannie. Well, Jeannie, tell us, will you, how the bunny paints all these eggs of gold and blue and gray.
I wonder where the bunny gets his colors bright to paint his pretty colored eggs on Easter night. If he would really truly tell, I'd like to know. If Bunny gets his colors from the bright rainbow, or if he dips his brushes in the dewdrop fair to paint the lovely eggs that we find everywhere. If he would really truly tell, I'd like to know. If Bunny gets his colors from the bright rainbow.
I guess that's where he gets them, Jeannie. Hey, Jeannie, welcome to came this morning with two little live chickens, little baby chicks, as an Easter present for Marilyn Miller. And while we're about it, here's Claire Howard with an Easter poem, too.
Oh, that's nice. What is your poem about, Claire?
Well, Jeannie,
Claire's Easter egg poem tells a little story, Jeannie. It's called April, and it was written by Theodosia Garrison. Tell us about it, won't you, Claire?
All right. Something tapped at my window pane. Someone called me without my door. Someone laughed like the tinkle of rain. The robin echoed it o'er and o'er. I threw the door and the window wide, sun and the touch of breeze, and then, "Oh, were you expecting me, dear?" she cried. And here was April come back again.
I love that little poem, don't you? Thank you, Claire. And now to get on with our Easter parade, here are the McNichols sisters, Muriel, Marjorie, and Dorothy. They look like yellow jonquils or tulips this morning. The Easter parade.
Grandest lady in the Easter parade. I'll be I'm a dreamer of grandeur. I could write a sonnet about your Easter bonnet and of the girl I'm taking to the Easter
and Dorothy. Little Marjorie says that they're going to have 27 eggs at their house today. 27 eggs, just imagine that. And they're going to have an egg hunt. Two of them, in fact. One at their home and one at grandmother's. Renee Terry has a new dress for Easter. Well, it's really a favorite old dress, which still seems new. Alice Blue Gown.
Once had a gown, it was almost new. Oh, the daintiest thing, it was sweet Alice Blue. With little forget-me-nots placed here and there. When I had it on, I walked down the air.
Golden-haired Renee is all in blue this morning. Renee Terry. And now what could be more appropriate for Easter Bunny Day than our Bunny Bus Chorus? Did you ever see a group of baby ducks waddling one after another behind their mama? Well, that's not our Bunny Bus Chorus. That's the song they're going to sing. Ducklings on Parade. Camina Cancino starts.
Did you ever see a flock of ducks when they went out parading? Oh, I bet you did, and so did I, before they went in waiting.
Ducklings on parade. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Ducklings on parade. What a hit they made. Those ducklings on parade.
Left, right, company, attention. Left, right, company, advance.
Ducklings on parade. On they go in single file and gravel just a puddle. Golly, how they waddle, those ducklings on parade.
Said the drake, "Hey, Mr. Goose, what puts you up a peg?"
The gander said, "My wife's the one who laid the golden egg."
Fifi Duck swam by herself and made a pert remark. "Oh, la la, you country clucks, I swim in Central Park."
Ducklings on parade. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, they're on to all the tricks. Living in the sticks, those ducky little, fluffy little, bunny Easter chicks.
Bunny Bus Chorus.
Mr. Conductor.
Yes, Barbara.
Are we going someplace special today?
Well, no, not exactly. We're just joining the Easter parade for a bunny bus ride this morning, that's all.
Oh.
You aren't disappointed, are you?
No, but I just had an idea something special was going to happen.
Well, to tell you the truth, something special is going to happen, but it's sort of a surprise.
Oh, will we find out pretty soon?
I think so, in a little while.
Ooh, I think that's awfully exciting. I suppose I'd better not tell anybody.
Well, it'll be all right to tell them if you want to.
But I don't know what to tell them. Only that, just that it's a surprise.
Well, that's enough to tell them, I think.
Yes, indeedy. They'll get the idea if you just say surprise.
Oh, yes, of course. Listen, everybody. It's a surprise.
Yeah, I reckon that'll do it all right.
Oh, yes. Everybody will know about the surprise in no time now. And, how are you this morning, Porter?
Oh, fine, Mr. Conductor. Just fine. Did you notice anything?
No.
Oh, you don't notice anything?
Big Shot's all dressed up fit to kill, Mr. Conductor.
Uh-huh.
That's what you were supposed to notice.
Oh, yes, of course. You are all dressed up, Big Shot.
Yes, sir. I was a killer dealer this morning, Mr. Conductor. I was knocking him cold and hot.
Well, it wouldn't take much to knock me cold this morning. I can believe it.
Funny you didn't notice that red and yellow checkered shirt right away, Mr. Conductor. And that green hat and those tan shoes and purple socks.
Yes, I don't see how I missed all that, Porter.
Big Shot looks something like an Easter egg himself. Don't he, Mr. Conductor?
He sure does. He called it Easter egg.
Well, now, wait a minute. If you mean that in the way I think you mean that, Small Shot, you is not popular with me.
Oh, I didn't mean no harm, Big Shot. I was just remarking that you certainly belongs in the Easter parade.
Uh-huh. Well, I is remarking that you belongs back there with your dust cloth. So get along, Little Shot. Get along there, son.
Okay, Big Noah.
Well, hurry up, John. But I was
just and here is another young man who looks as if he'd like to join our Easter parade.
Who, me, Mr. Conductor?
Yes, you, Jackie Ayers.
You mean I'm all dressed up?
Well, I mean you look as if you have a song for us.
I have, Mr. Conductor.
Good, and we'd like very much to hear it now.
All right.
It seems Jackie has a new pair of shoes. Listen.
Look at me. Tell me, can't you see? I feel so upset. I'm not myself today. Got a pair of shoes. Pair of new shoes. Oh, boy, do they hurt. Otherwise, everything's all right. All dressed up. New suit and everything. All dressed up. All set to have the fling. Here am I, breaking in a pair of shoes. Ouch, oh me, oh my. Got a date with someone I adore. Now I'm late. I'll bet she's good and sore. I could cry, breaking in a pair of shoes. All the gang will soon be hurrying to see the Easter parade. Shall I go? Oh, I don't know. Ouch! My tootsies! Gosh, oh, gee! Feet may be breaking down, even so. I gotta go to town. Here I go. Breaking in a pair of shoes. Ouch! Oh, me, oh, my! Breaking in a pair of shoes.
My goodness, like breaking a pair of Broncos. Those Easter new shoes. That was Jackie Bunny Ayers. And here's another young man who has a song for us this morning, I know. Haven't you, Bobby Hastings?
Well, I think I might have, Mr. Cross.
I think you better have, Bobby, because we're all waiting to hear you sing. All of us.
Me too.
Well, in a case like that, I guess I'd better have a song, Mr. Cross.
I think you'd better. Someone asked for When the Organ Played Oh Promise Me.
Last night when the organ was playing, I passed by the church on the hill. In vision it seemed you were saying, I love you and I always will. When the twilight, the song that reached my heart, it seemed to me I
Twilight. Sung by Bobby Hastings, who has such an appealing quality voice indeed, hasn't he?
Mr. Conductor.
Oh, yes, Nancy.
You aren't going to the Get the Pigs, are you?
We hope we'll have a Peter Pig story.
Everybody will be disappointed if we don't.
I told them we'd have a story, Mr. Cross, but they wouldn't believe me.
Well, somebody said we were going to have a surprise, and we were afraid we'd forget Peter Pig.
But Mr. Cross never forgets Peter Pig. You kids know that.
We'd like to be sure, Peter.
Well, just to be sure, suppose we have our Peter Pig story right now, shall we?
Oh, yes!
Wait a minute. I wonder what I did with it.
Isn't that it sticking out of your pocket, Mr. Cross?
Oh, yes, Niels, thank you. All right, then. We're ready for chapter 382 in The Adventures of Peter Pig by Gene Peterson. With the arrival of Easter, the question of what the well-dressed pig or animal will wear for the coming season invites our attention. A glance into the display window of the Drake's Brothers department store will perhaps offer a few suggestions. Here are all the latest models, hats for hens, coats for cows, and pants for little pups. But wait, will you look who's here? It's Grandma Pig on a shopping expedition. And bringing up the rear is Gramp, supported by one Peter. For needless to say, the gentlemen of this little trio are not present by preference. Will you listen?
All right, Grandpa, do we have to go shopping with Grandma?
No, Peter, we'll get away just as soon as
we can. All right, Pa, will you stop poking behind and hurry up?
Yes, Ma. Oh, ain't Peter, I guess we'd better stick around a while.
Now, Pa, here's the Drake Brothers department store. Oink, we'll go right up to the men animals clothing section.
Oink, now, Ma, I don't need any new clothes.
Oh, yes, you do, Aloysius, and I'm going to see that you get them.
Yeah, but I can select them some other time,
when
Ma.
I'm not along, and you buy another one of them there blue serge suits. Oink, I'm tired of looking at you in blue serge.
Oh, but, Ma, blue serge is what...
I want you to get something different. Oink, one of them there nice plaid coats with plain pants. Now, come on, Pa.
Well, let me look at these neckties here. Oink, Peter, can't you think of some way to help me out of this?
Oink, don't you want a nice plaid coat with plain pants, Gramp?
I should say not. No codger like me wearing them sporty clothes. Of course, maybe they wouldn't be so bad, but... Oink, it's just the idea of having Grandmammy along helping me pick them out.
Yes, yes, I see your point, Grandpa.
Yeah, she'll tell the clerks how short to make the pants and where to pad the shoulders and... You want him to take a tuck here and a pleat there? I'd be embarrassed,
sure,
Peter.
Sure, I can see that you... All right, Grandpa. Here comes Mr. Drake. We'll get him to help us.
Vic, Vic. Is there something I can do for the gentleman?
Aloysius, are you coming?
Oink, no, my wife...
Oink, Mr. Drake, it's Grandma that wants help.
Vic, Vic, the little woman, huh?
She's interested in a nice plaid, Mr. Drake.
Uh-huh, in a nice plaid, maybe, already,
Peter,
huh?
You...
Now, Grandpa, don't worry, I can handle this. All right, Mr. Drake, Grandma may offer a little sales resistance, but just keep her here in the woman's section. Show her something plaid.
Vic, Vic, you just leave it to me.
Oink, Aloysius Pig.
Vic, Vic, madam, you were looking for something in a nice plaid, maybe, yes?
Yes, but you don't have what I want here.
Vic, madam, now just you wait a minute. Let me show you. I have a...
Oh, land sakes, I never will get up to the men's department.
Ah, here you are. Ah, there you are, madam.
Oh, no, Oink. I want something with a vest. And
but, madam, the women are not wearing the vest this spring. Now, just look
but
here.
I don't want
your
anything.
Salesmanship, Mr. Drake.
Mrs. Pig, this dress. Now, it would make you look like $1,000,000. Just feel the material. All silk made from the silk what the little worms spin with the spinners.
Oink, Grandpa, I think Grandma's beginning to weaken.
Well, Oink, it's a little gay for my age.
Oh, for your age, madam. Why, madam, you are on the day over.
Oink, what size is it?
16. Crack, now, madam, you just take it into the dressing room there, try it on, see how it fits. Crack, there you are.
Oink.
Go on, Grandma, Oink. Try it on. Oink, you look swell.
Well, if you think so, Oink, I really shouldn't.
Now, there, Grandpa, I guess that'll fix things for you.
Well, I don't know.
Oink, Grandpa, if Grandma gets that green and yellow plaid dress, that ought to take care of the plaid problem for a while.
Yeah.
Then you can get your nice blue serge or whatever you want.
Yes, but I...
Here comes your wife, Mr. Pig. And will you see how she looks in that dress? It feels like the paper on the wall.
Oink, do you like it, Aloysius?
Well, I...
Oink, what is it, Pa? Why don't you say something?
Of course he likes it, Mrs. Pig. He is so overcome. You look so beautiful. He can't talk.
I can't talk. Yeah, I like the zipper, Grandma.
Yes, and the pockets. Did you look at the streamlined pockets? Oi, Mrs. Pig, and such a bargain.
Well, Oink, I guess I'll take it.
Oh, Mrs. Pig, shall I wrap it up or will you wear it?
Oink, I think I'll wear it. But I guess I'll need some gloves and a pair of shoes and a pocketbook and... let me look at that there little yellow hat with the green pansies on it.
Quick, Mrs. Pig, there you are.
Oink, Ma, that ain't a hat, is it? Of
course, Pa.
It looks like a flower pot to me. Pretty silly, I think.
Oi, but Mr. Pig, a woman ain't got no style if she don't wear a silly hat these days.
Oink, I'll take it, Mr. Drake.
All right, Mrs. Pig, shall I charge it or do you wish to pay the cash?
I'll pay cash, $37.42 for everything. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. And such bargains. I'm selling to you for just what it cost me. Not making a penny extra. $37.42.
$37. Wow, oink.
Oh, hush, Grandpa. That's cheap. Yeah. If Grandma wasn't buying these clothes, she'd be up in the men's department telling them how short to make your pants.
Yeah, well, guess there ain't gonna be any pants now. Ma spent all the money she had on her clothes.
Oh, gosh, you mean there isn't anything left to buy you something?
Well, it seems that way. $37.42.
Oh, gosh. Oink, Grandma, aren't you going up in the men's department and get Gramp some clothes?
Oink, no, I guess your grandpappy's old blue serge will do for a while. There's nothing like a blue serge for service. It just wears and wears and wears.
Now, Peter Pig, look what you went and done.
Well, Grandpa, then you should have gone on and let Grandma get you that plaid coat and the plain pants. Oh, but I guess it's too late now.
All right, Pa, come on, let's get home. What you waiting for?
Nothing, Ma, nothing at all.
Well, instead of being outwitted, Grandma was outfitted, I'd say. Peter Pig was Mickey O'Day, Grandpa Jackie Kelk, Grandma Nancy Peterson, and Mr. Drake Arthur Scanlon. And here's lovely Diana Joan Dunnenworth, ready to sing a song for Peter Pig and to join our Easter parade at the same time.
Am I, Mr. Conductor?
Of course you are, Diana. Didn't you hear Mr. Cross say so?
Yes.
All right, then.
I'm ready, Mr. Cross.
And here's 7-year-old Diana with a carnation and some other flowers on her cute red coat and wearing a blue dress and brown leggings this morning. Sure enough, this morning when she looked at it, a bunny had been nibbling at it, and he just left eggs hidden all over the house. 7-year-old Anna Joan Dunnenworth. And I'm sure you remember 13-year-old Ethel Kramer, who plays the violin so beautifully. She's with us this morning on the White Rabbit Bus, and she plays for us now From the Canebrake by Samuel Gardner. Thank you. Is that time for a 30-year-old girl, Ethel Kramer, who just played from the Canebrake for us by Samuel Gardner. You're on the Bunny Bus with us.
It's your turn, Mr. Conductor.
Yes, please, Mr. Cross.
Yes, we're the committee, and we say it so.
Please, Mr. Conductor, you have to be in the Easter Parade, too, you know.
You mean you want me to sing a song?
Yes, that's it.
Of course.
That's right.
Well, why don't you say so?
What?
Didn't we say so?
Well, that's what we meant, even if we didn't say it, Mr. Conductor.
We want you to join the Easter Parade, too.
Well, all right, I'll try. I'm afraid the Violets are a little timid as yet about pushing their sweet heads out of the ground, but Ethel put me down for the message of the Violets.
The rose's lips are warm and red and burning with desire. Her heart and soul are all aflame with passion's glowing fire. But if you touch her, have a care. She's thick with thorns beset, and nature, when she breathes of love, speaks through the violet. I bring a breath of springtime from a woodland where I grew. There's a kiss upon each petal. My lips are sweet with dew. The one who sends this message would whisper soft to you. I love you, love you, love you. And my heart's true.
Well, now for our surprise, you're going to hear some real singing this time. A special Easter morning treat by 40 Italian-American children of New York City who, a little over a year ago, gave the first juvenile presentation of Mascagni's famous opera, Cavalleria Rusticana. We wish we had time to let you hear the entire production. However, we will hear the children in five familiar excerpts from the opera, given under the direction of Miss Ernestine Minciotti, who has trained the children in, well, almost 2 years of intensive work now. We had the pleasure of hearing these children last Easter morning, many of you will remember. The opera, as you know, tells of some rather sordid happenings in a peaceful Sicilian village square on an Easter Sunday morning. But we're not interested so much in the story this morning as we are in Mascagni's music as sung by these little Italian artists, 25 of whom are between 4 and 12 years of age and 15 of them from about 12 to 20. When I first heard these dear children a little over a year ago, I was really thrilled and profoundly moved, and I think you'll feel the same way after you've heard them sing this morning. The music has been arranged for them by David Perry, and Herman Charloff will be at the piano. First, we'll hear Turiddu, the young soldier, singing of his love for Lola, who was one of his sweethearts before he left for the wars, but who in the meantime has married a teamster named Alfio. The Sicilian love song, or the Siciliana, as it is called, is sung behind the scenes in the opera. It'll be sung for us now by the youngest Turiddu I have ever known, 11-year-old Michelino Zizzo.
Oh, la, 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 la,
Father Tiribu, sung with all the feeling of a mature artist, only 11 years old. And now meet our Alfio of the cast, another 11-year-old, John Pardi. Believe it or not, John was born on the same day as Michelino, his operatic rival in this story of Cavalleria Rusticana. Isn't that quite a coincidence? Alfio, the teamster, makes his entrance, whip in hand, singing of the happy life of a carter or driver, and also singing of his wife, Lola. As he joins his friends on this Easter morning, they agree with him in chorus that the teamster's life is a fine one indeed. 11-year-old John Pardi, or Alfio, now sings his whip song, Il Cavallo Scalpita. Cavalleria Rusticana, being sung by 40 Italian-American children for us this morning. Near the close of the opera, Turiddu is about to have a duel with Alfio. Turiddu has been a very bad boy, and he feels that fate is against him. He has a premonition of impending tragedy. His dear mother doesn't quite understand it all when he asks her to bless him as she did before he went to the wars, and then he bids her a tender, appealing, yet despairing farewell. Un bacio, mamma. Addio. A kiss, mamma. Farewell. Here is 11-year-old Michelino Zizzo as Turiddu and 15-year-old Filomena Bellezza as Mamma Lucia.
Generoso, e c'è la tua aperto. Parli così, figliuolo mio. Oh, nulla, è il vino che m'ha suggerito. M'ha suggerito il vino.
The young girl, that was wonderful, wasn't it? Brings tears to my eyes. The young girl, Santuzza, who was deserted by Toriddu, tells Alfio of the bad things Toriddu has been doing. And as Alfio swears vengeance, Santuzza is sorry she has told on her former lover. This is all told to us in the duet we now hear, sung by Gilda Di Maio, who is 13 years old. She's our Santuzza, and John Pardi, 11-year-old Alfio.
Vendetta, bro! Vendetta, bro! detto proprio che trovo il proprio senso,
Then in the opera, you know, after church services, Toridu invites the villagers to Mama Lucia's wine shop, and here he sings his familiar, lively, carefree drinking song, or brindisi, Vivo il vino spumeggiante, in which they all heartily join in ringing chorus. First the villagers are heard singing, and then Toridu, our 11-year-old Michelino Zizzo, and Lola, our 12-year-old Zario Rosa.
Come il riso dell'amante, mite in fa-
Well, that's quite a reception. Like the reception was given after yesterday's performance at the Metropolitan of Tristan. Well, that was great, wasn't it? This performance given by these children, as I've said before, clearly demonstrates the fact that Cavalleria Rusticana is an Italian opera written by an Italian in Italian to be sung by Italians, young or old. These children certainly have a natural, traditional musical heritage. They sing, as their young director has said, because they love to sing, and they just pour their little emotional hearts and souls into it. The children were to have toured Italy this year, but of course the war prevented that. Mascagni was to have conducted them in Rome at the 50th anniversary of his opera, Cavalleria. Well, we're very happy to have had the privilege of presenting this gifted group once again to you, and we're very grateful also to their director, Miss Ernestine Minciotti. The music was arranged by Mr. David Perry, and Herman Charloff was at the piano. Now, as we continue our Bunny Bus program, we'll hear a number from our Bunny Bus bugler, Jimmy Burke, who plays for us the Schubert Ave Maria. His mother's at the piano. Jimmy, that was grand. Jimmy Burke. Good morning and bye-bye, and happy Easter to you all. These trips on the White Rabbit bus are arranged for us every Sunday by Miss Madge Tucker, who is lady next door. This is the National Broadcasting Company, RCA Building, Radio City, New York.